You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Mr. Ion Ugarte, the director of Small Is the New Big. He is a full-time developer, recognized as the small space micro-apartment specialist, passionately working to solve the crisis of homelessness in Australia. He is bringing back the genuine connection of community through elegant housing, diversification, and teaching other investors his out-of-the-box strategies for achieving significant financial gains whilst helping the needy of our society. Mr. Ugarte, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you for having me.
And you're more than welcome, and certainly looking forward to hearing from you in all regards. So for starters, tell us, what is Hi-Res and how has it been developed?
Yeah, so Hi-Res is an acronym for the High Income Real Estate System, and what we've found in Australia and you know, most of the world is that property investors have gone into buying properties, creating a demand, and then we end up in a position where the return for the investor isn't so great. Now, I'd followed that path of actually becoming a full-time property investor and got myself into a position where I woke up probably about 5 years ago in 2013 with money in my bank and a very hollow heart. And I started to realize that, you know, whilst I was seeking some returns from property, I was actually not getting any returns emotionally from what I was doing. So we went searching and looking for what we could do and affect the community in a positive way. And we've got a saying within Small Is a New Big that says it needs to make sense before it makes dollars. So that is, it needs to affect the community in a positive way first, and secondly, it needs to make money. It needs to make both, and it needs to do both, because otherwise I could sit at home and go broke doing property deals. So we worked out that by providing the right style of housing for people, we would end up in a position where we were actually getting a better return. And that all stems from Australia actually builds the largest houses in the world at 246 square metres. I'm not sure what the foot conversion is on that. But at 246 square metres, there's only 2.5 people per household. We have 12 million empty bedrooms in Australia tonight when we go to sleep. Considering we've got a population of 24 million, that is a huge amount. And I always like to quote the statistic that if I built an Australian home in Hong Kong, I can fit 22.6 Hong Kong houses in one Australian house. And so what we've realised is that people can't afford to live in these large houses, that 80%, up to 80% of the people looking to rent a house is actually a single or couple, and 80% of our stock are 3, 4, and 5-bedroom houses. So what we've done is we've taken policies from around the country to take those 3, 4, and 5-bedroom houses and create smaller micro apartments within each one of them so that people can afford to rent, so that the investor actually gets a better return as a ratio, and then it actually takes the pressure off the bottom end of the market so that those people that seek low-end socio housing are actually not being pressured by the middle third of the market. And that's what Hi-Res is all about.
And certainly some eye-opening information in regards to the homelessness situation within Australia. Tell us, why is community so important to you?
You know, community, and you'll have to excuse my emotion because it really a key driver for me. Community is a very important part of who we are. And when I grew up and I was, you know, in my younger years, you know, 30 years ago, I grew up in a street where all the kids played out on the road. I'm Australian born, but my parents are Spanish immigrants, and I grew up in a house that was rendered and spackled and had bars in the window and arches everywhere and different floor tiles. And the house next door was a simple cladded home, and my auntie Carmel lived in that house. And my auntie Carmel, for various reasons of my mother not being able to get up in the morning, would get me ready for school, and she'd get breakfast ready for me, and then get me off to school. So for me, the important part of the community was that I didn't realise till about the age of 11 that my Auntie Carmel next door was actually not my real auntie. And she passed away about 5 years ago. Hence the emotion that you hear now is, and it hit me so hard because it was a realisation that my Auntie Carmel was actually closer to any of my blood, closer to me than any of my blood aunties. And the thing about community is that different style of housing, different style of people, different style of demographics, and everyone looked after themselves, after each other back then. So if the old guy across the road that wasn't quite nice when you kicked the soccer ball into his front yard fell over or tripped over, everyone would go out of their way to make sure that he could either get to hospital, that he was looked after, and that meals were cooked. And we've lost that, unfortunately, in Australia. We've lost that sense of community, and what we do in high res and what we do in affordable accommodation has actually brought that back.
And certainly can understand the emotions there, and thanks for sharing that on a personal level as well. Tell us, what is the white-collared homeless epidemic?
Yeah, it's an interesting, and we've named this the white-collared homeless epidemic because when we started building these small micro apartments within the same dwelling, we would get an application from a tenant, and they were a 50 to 55-year-old single woman. And I said, have you got any history in rentals so that we, you know, we can check? And they said, no, actually, I've been living in my own house for the last 30 years. And so we said, well, you know, you sort of tick our boxes. You don't really have a rental history, but that's fine. So she would move in, and then the next knock on the door was exactly the same woman, just a different person. And when I started to do the investigating into this, this white-collared epidemic is the woman that was told at the age of 20 or 30 to find a man with a good job because you'd be set for life. A man is your plan was the old story. And so they would start their career working, married, and then they would working their way up the ranks, but then they would have a child. And as soon as they're out of the marketplace for or the workplace for 18 months, they are considered to be damaged goods, which is beyond any understanding that I've got. And from there, they have a second child, they look after a house for the next 20 to 30 years, they handle the finances, they handle the cooking and cleaning, they run kids backwards and forwards, they handle a timetable better than any man could ever handle. And they get to a point where the kids leave, they go off to university or start their work, and they're no longer living at home, and she looks across at him, and he looks at her, and she says, I'm out, I can't stand, you crushed me, you took my independence, I want to get out. Some of them leave with nothing, some of them leave with a really crappy financial settlement of about $100,000. They get to a point where they look at their bank account, they can't get a job because they're considered unskilled, they don't have any super or 404, I think is what you call it over there, so no retirement fund. Their money gets down to 50 grand, at 30 grand they panic, they buy a car and they start sleeping in their car. And this is the most devastating thing for me to think about because every night that I go to bed in a comfortable bed, I can't be comfortable if other people are uncomfortable sleeping at nighttime. And so for me, my drive about this white-collared homelessness is to ensure that we actually give people a good, affordable, clean and safe place to stay. And again, I'm not talking about the low end of the market. These are women that have looked after households for the last 30 years. And in my own office, I drive and I strive to make sure that the average age stays above 45, and most of them female in my office, and they are the most brilliant employees. They're brilliant residents. They look after the home. They become adopted mothers in the property, and they're always telling you if something's wrong. And it's just such a such a bad injustice to them and how they have to live the rest of their life.
Today we are speaking with Ian Ugarte, the director of Small is the New Big. He is a full-time developer recognized as the small space micro apartment specialist, passionately working to solve the crisis of homelessness in Australia here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, Mr. Ugarte, what do you ultimately hope to achieve in all the regards we've been discussing today?
Property has become a commodity in most parts of the world, and specifically in Australia. In the most recent survey, the most unaffordable cities in the world, Sydney comes in number two behind Hong Kong. All our capital cities, so the eight capital cities we have in Australia, actually make it in the top 53. And when you look at the most affordable cities in the world, it happens to be that the US has the top 10. So what's the difference between the US and us? It's an oversupply. And what we're trying to aim and achieve is, so we've set a goal in December last year, we set a goal to produce 1 million self-contained homes over the next 10 years. So by December 2027, we'd actually have an extra million homes. Now, I can't do that on my own, which is why I teach other property investors how to do this. And so what I'm ultimately trying to achieve is supplying the right style of accommodation to the market rather than the standard four-bedroom, two-bathroom house that's being built. Because if we can supply the right style of accommodation, that's 60 to 80% of the people that are looking for rentals that are single or couples will only need a studio or a one-bedder home, and in which case, when you drop them out of the market, it frees up the top end of the market for families to actually live in a family home rather than singles living in a family home. By doing that and oversupplying the market, we're actually going to covertly drop the supply. So we're going to increase the supply and drop the demand, which means that property prices at the very least will stagnate because rents have stagnated, and it means that property investors will no longer look at property as a commodity. They'll simply just say, it's a property that I want to be able to live in because it's affordable to live in it. You know, we saw the correction that happened in the GFC in the US, and, you know, I'm not suggesting that there's going to be a correction in Australia, but what I am suggesting is that the easiest way to create a stagnant market is to create a oversupply, which means that the young couple that actually want to buy a house can afford to buy a house. So the majority of the young couples that stay in our properties, they're actually there so that they can take one of their wages, save that towards a deposit in their first home, and then within 3 to 5 years they can afford to buy their own home. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to create a property price point that wages are actually allowable, because currently we're at about 13 times your wage to be able to buy a house, and that is an incredible ratio when you think about the rest of the world and how we are in Australia.
Well, I certainly appreciate all that you're doing. Not only is it impressive, but it is touching, and we really do appreciate what you're doing in all regards here. Lastly, can the everyday person do something to help, and what's in it for them? Touch on that if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I can tell you what's in it for them is that when you provide these styles of property, your heart flutters at the end of the day, because you know you've done something for someone else. You've given someone else the opportunity to live in a property. And, you know, we've got this great story in our own office here of Rebecca, who was in a position where she was living uncomfortably in an unsecure place, and since joining us actually lives in one of our properties. We've put her through a real estate agent's license so she can manage our properties. She looks after our kids. She's our real-life Mary Poppins. And so when you look at people that actually don't have the money to invest in property, we have another strategy which we call the rentrepreneur strategy. And that is approaching someone that's actually renting their property, an investor, taking that property, converting it with their approval, and then renting it out in smaller compartments and creating some cash flow and wage from that. And so not only do you actually benefit with a low starting point because you've now got cash flow coming in, but you're actually benefiting and creating a benefit to people that are living in your property. So can anyone do this? I say absolutely, and we've got a number of success stories where people have come and joined us with very little low starting point in money and have made themselves and put themselves in a position to be able to help out, you know, including one of our clients enrolled in our program, has come aboard. She started with next to nothing. She, in the space of about 3 or 4 years, has now bought 2-unit blocks. She's created 7 other deals, cash flow of about $70,000 to $80,000. It's just amazing to see people grow and affect the community in a positive way at the same time. So can anyone do this? Absolutely. All you need to do is just come aboard and learn what we teach.
Again, Ian, it's been our pleasure to have had you, and thanks for not only all that you're doing, but for bringing this to our attention, and we look forward to having further conversations in the future. Where can listeners get all the details on Small is the New Big?
Yes, certainly. If you go to smallisthenewbig.com.au, we have 2 reports that we've written on exactly what I've talked about today. and where you can do it all over the country. So basically all over the country, it does have a policy that allows you to be able to create these style of micro apartments within the same house in low density residential zoning. It's a great return for the investor. We're talking double digit returns or at least doubling the income that comes from those properties. So that's at www.smallisthenewbig.com.au.
Fantastic. Again, Ian, it's been our pleasure to have had you, and all the best, and look forward to our next conversation right here on Enterprise Radio. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Ian Ugarte, the director of Small is the New Big. He is a full-time developer recognized as the small space micro apartment specialist, passionately working to solve the crisis of homelessness in Australia. And for further details, visit Small is the New Big. .com.au. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.